Well, build my gallows and build them high. Makes a long time climbing before I die. I want the chance that's built in his eye. Well, he gave me balls, but I can see between to a dusty yard and a long gone green. They call that freedom, if you know what I mean. And I drown my sorrows, but the whiskey's gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Long Bangers. This is episode 70 or 70. I'm Matty, and I'm joined tonight by Brian. Brian, how are you doing?
I've just noticed when you start the podcast and you always do it, and your octaves go up a wee bit, and you go, "Hello, everybody." You look up to your right, like you're looking at if it was a clock, like 2:30. What are you staring at?
That's a good question.
It's like
the words written on my ceiling in case I forget what I meant to say. It drives me really mental, like I have to score it out and start again the next again episode. So
you're like a sweet old man with a pet butterfly.
Aye, I'll probably check and see what the time was on the phone so I can where to start editing from.
I'd maybe start it now. and answer your question, I'm fine, thanks.
Good, right, and I'm conscious I'll look straight ahead this time. John, how are you doing?
I'm not bad. I'm in a bit
of his eyes.
I'm in a bit of mixed moods because you'll all be aware that I've started a curvy Nisbet to Captain America Nisbet journey, and in the last fortnight I've lost a stone. But I've also got this massive fucking pluck on my face that must weigh about a stone and all, so I've probably hit an even keel. So, aye, I'm all right. I'm all right. The spot will go away.
Well, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the episode, I've got a question that should have made it into Short Bangers on Thursday. And this was sent in by Mikey, who's at Hybe Homewood on Twitter. And he sent it weeks ago. And I meant to read it the first Short Bangers after he sent it. Completely forgot. Then I promised him I would include it in the next show. Might have forgot again then. And promised I definitely would put it in Short Bangers last week. And I might have forgot to do it then as well because I had to run away to the train station to pick up Sophie. So,
just write it on the ceiling that you're staring at right
well,
now.
Well, that's what I've done. That's what I've done. Right, and it's a would you rather, right? So I get your input for this one. Would you rather fart every time you have an orgasm or orgasm every time you fart? John, you go first. You look like you're trying to squeeze out a fart now. I hope that's what you're trying to do anyway. No, the other one.
I was giving it a lot of thought. I would rather orgasm when I fart because at the moment I'm farting a lot.
Decent, Brian.
Can I clarify the question a tiny wee bit? See, when we say orgasm, do we mean ejaculate or do we just mean get that?
You need it properly, aye.
Aye, my answer's the same.
That's the spirit. Brian?
I would rather fart when I orgasm because I generally orgasm alone these days, so there'd be nobody to hear it. I think the alternative, if I was to orgasm every time I farted, I wouldn't be washing my boxer shorts. I'd probably just be snapping them in half.
I like the idea of being able to do like a wee kind of toot-toot, like a wee announcement that's happened, like a wee bottom fanfare.
Oh, there's Matty.
There he goes.
Farting again.
Right. Sorry, anyway, to Mike for missing that question out. It was a good question. It would have been good for Short Bangers anyway. Right. What have we got tonight? We've got a wee look back at the Ross County game on Saturday, 0-0. We will talk about people's favourite derbies because it was, this is episode 7-0. And we'll look ahead to the killer game at the weekend as well. I think that's about it. I think I put everything down on an agenda on the WhatsApp group, but then my laptop decided it's doing a Windows update, so I'm on my phone recording this rather than being able to look at it. So, Saturday's game. Brian, did you watch it?
Of course, I've watched every game this season, unlike John, who's a part-time bastard.
Part-time bastard, too. Right, what were your observations on the game, Brian?
We could have been 5-0 up within the first 15 minutes. Martin Boyle was the Martin Boyle of old, where he had all the directness and no composure. Dodging Nisbet, but a wee bit off the boil. Nisbet probably had his quietest game for us. Defensively, we were sound. I think the stats speak for itself. 28 shots, I think. Just, you know what? Probably be years of supporting Hibs, I suppose. It's kind of ingrained in me, but I almost knew after the first 15 minutes that was going to finish 0-0. Or worse, we'd get beat 1-0. It was just one of those games that we were never in danger, but for all the possession and for all the shots, it just had a inevitability about it that it was going to finish 0-0.
I was convinced we were going to nick it. See, the later it went on, I was convinced we were going to get it. Couldn't see any way of us coming away for a game like that, no having won. It was mental. John, have you seen any of the game to be able to discuss it?
I've seen one part of the game, and I think it was, I don't know which half it was, but Martin Boyle's kind of running, he's inside the 18-yarder, and he tugs a shot wide. That's all I've seen.
I don't think you should be allowed on this show if you don't watch other games.
I'm starting to think that as well.
I think you're a fucking hypocrite, Brian.
We've got listeners, John. Listeners, we don't build a reputation as the third best podcast out
tune in for cutting edge analysis.
I know. None of this, I watched one snapshot and then thought, oh, fuck it, that'll do.
So my analysis of the last two games is that I've seen neither, and Hibs haven't performed as well as... Or sorry, not that they haven't performed, but they haven't got the result that we would have liked. We had a depleted team against, I'm going to say it was Cove Rangers was the second of the two Rangers games. But aye, depleted squad, Hibs managed to get the result, but I never watched it. What I did do instead was stayed up. Oh, sorry, I couldn't sleep one night. So I was having a wee look to see if there was any highlights kicking about on the internet. And there was the full game on YouTube on a channel called Vlad TV. So I was watching that on my mobile phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we never fucking spoke about it. And then Saturday there, I was out playing golf, so missed it. And we didn't get the result that we wanted. So I'm starting to see through my expert analysis that when I didn't watch the games, things didn't go quite well. Things didn't go quite right.
You do know, John, and everybody's believing that at 2 a.m, you woke up or been lying, really able to get to sleep, reached for your phone, thought, I'm going to watch something, and that's something that you've chosen to watch has been football.
Do you know, I feel like if you were to ask my mates, they would say, Kim, what, I could see John tuning in at a Hibs game at 2 o'clock in the morning, but they would also say there's every chance that he switched off at half-time and had a wank.
Aye, right, back to, who did we play, Ross County, right. Brian, do you think we had a decent shout for a penalty first half?
Remind me.
So that's like before the second half.
What was the incident?
So if I said two shouts, there was one where Boyle looked like he was caught, and he stayed on his feet and then got his shot away, but he kind of missed his shot.
No.
And then there was a shout for a handball where the guy kind of dived in and it sort of came off the top of his arm.
I can't recall that one, but if we were sticking to the letter of the law this year, then yes, absolutely.
I tell you which team would have got a penalty for it.
Hearts or Man United.
Hearts. I think Hearts have had more penalties than they've had games this season.
They have.
Which is a mental statistic, yeah.
That's expert analysis. I like that.
Still, some things never change, yeah. But we didn't get penalties like that. This is a known fact as well. I think it would have been soft, personally speaking. I think we were Boyle's one. It's an interesting one because it sparked a debate about players staying on their feet. So I don't know, John, what your thoughts are. If if you're a striker and you feel contact or that you've been fouled, but you've got a chance to stay on your feet and carry on and try and score, do you play for the penalty or do you trust that the referee will do the right thing and pull it back for the foul?
Trust referees in Scotland.
Well, aye, you only need a certain handshake and then it's all right.
I don't know. Like, do you remember there was a period when Jason Cummings got labelled as a bit of a diver and we never ever seemed to get any penalties when he went down in the box? So I don't know. I wouldn't like to see a Hibs player throw themselves to the ground trying to get a penalty. In fact, do you remember when Slivka had done it outside the box and they got a booking for it, and then I think he got red carded. He got a second yellow player in the same game. So that's always the danger. So no, I think I'd rather see a player go down under a challenge legitimately and at the same time have referees step up their game and actually start awarding them properly.
I think that's the preference. But what are your thoughts on it, Brian? Because I think Boyle got a wee bit of criticism for not being... folk use the word cute for it, but not being cute enough to let the referee see that he'd been fouled.
Oh, I've been snipered. I'm down.
Are you going full platoon? Arms in the air, rolling about?
With the music playing in the background.
And that's the difference, John. You're just one of those guys that you could take home to your mother. Just a sweet, nice boy. Me, I'm down. Forward rolls, everything. Screaming.
I thought you were going to say you'd take them home and you'd shag the mother.
No, John, this is a family podcast.
Come on, John. Keep it clean, eh?
Disgusting.
It's an interesting one. John, you make a good point. What you really need there is referees to do their job properly, eh? And to spot it and go, right, fair enough, he's had the shot, but he's been fouled in amongst that. Because I think Boyle gets taken off balance and he takes his shot while he's off balance. And if the referee acknowledges that, it's a penalty to Hibs.
The referee, I heard when I was coming back for the golf, there was a bit on the radio where the Ross County player's been sent off. And he's been sent off, I think, for tugging Boyle back just inside the Ross County half.
Yeah.
Attacking. And I forget who the referee was that was on the radio, but he was saying that that was the right decision to make. And he talked the listener through it. And I was like, aye, fine, that sounds great. The one thing that Scottish football and perhaps all of international football gets wrong is that the referees don't seem to be properly accountable. Like they never explain the rationale for their decisions. So I don't know exactly what sort of forum that would take, but if a referee was to come out and say, I didn't give the penalty here because of X, these are the rules and this is how I apply them, I think I would be more happy with that rather than this sort of bring down the shutters attitude of we speak to no one. And all the only people that are answerable to are the compliance officers who mark them up or mark them down. That doesn't solve any of the problems.
Do you think it'd make a difference though? Like, because I tend to agree with that point of view, right? But there's also a bit of me that says, right, I know, like, I'm trying to think an obvious example, right? Griffiths goal, his hearts, right, where the ball bounces down behind the line.
Yep.
Bounces back, right? No, on the line or just over the line, but a good, you know, yard and a half over the line and comes back out. Now, obviously what's happened there, the referee and the linesman would both come out and say, we didn't see the ball cross the line, therefore we couldn't award the goal. So him explaining that is one of the worst decisions you've ever seen. Him explaining it doesn't make you go, all right, fair enough. It makes you go, nah, bollocks. You must have seen that. Like, everybody saw it. So if a referee then says, well, didn't they give the penalty because they didn't see the foul on Boyle when he kept running? So you're going to go, well, that's your job to see that, isn't it?
Aye. I've not got an answer for you, Matty. I don't know what to say.
I think I'd feel better if they apologised. Because we'd be saying they dressed them up as robots, in a sense. It'd be nice if they came out and said, listen, I've looked at, I've seen the replays and I'll be honest with you, I made an absolute arse of that, and I'm sorry.
So, aye, that's a slightly different situation, I think, for what I'm describing of, like, say a yellow card instead of a red card or whatever, explain the rationale. But if the referee was to come out and say, say, actually, I got it wrong, could you really, is there really any argument there? He should have awarded a penalty, he didn't, what are we going to do about it?
It'd be nice to see a more human side of them rather than us, like I say, dressing them up as corrupt robots.
I think that's a fair point as well, Brian, to be honest with you, because we're all human, and referees are human, and referees are going to make mistakes, and they're going to make really bad mistakes at times as well. I'd probably, if they just said, I came out and watched it back, and I should have given that, I was the wrong decision, folk would probably respect them for it. Again, playing devil's advocate, you probably have folk who would count the number of mistakes referees had for their team and use this as some kind of evidence to say there's a conspiracy or folk are out to get them.
Was it on Hibs.net? It was a few years back when Craig Thompson was still in charge, and there was a bit of analysis done on him and the likelihood of him awarding a yellow card or a red card against Hibs when he won against any other team.
His stats were skewed significantly against Hibs.
Aye, because he's a cheat.
But there's a story about this. I remember speaking to Scott Lindsay, who used to be, what was his role, the chief exec, I suppose, equivalent to Leanne Dempster now, back in when we lost the cup final. And at one of the working together meetings, there was a big conversation. So I actually led on to other things, but I'd asked him about the culture at the club, and he'd said it was the manager who sets the culture. And I sort of said, but you change the manager every year and a half, 2 years, so you're resetting the culture. Like, that'll never embed it. Anyway, that led on to a different conversation. But one of the things that came up in that discussion was Craig Thompson, and Hibs went to the SFA and said, can you give us a different referee? Don't appoint Craig Thompson because we have these concerns about him. The SFA agreed to meet. So I'm just trying to remember this. So if I've got details of this wrong, I apologise, but this is my recollection of the story. Is Scott Lindsay had gone to Hampden for a meeting with whoever it was that was in charge at the time to discuss it. While he's waiting to go into the room to speak to them, and they've kept him waiting, having a cup of coffee and reading the newspaper or whatever, while he's been out waiting, they've announced the referee for the game as Craig Thompson. So they totally shafted Hibs for it. And then he went. So that was straight from the horse's mouth as well. So this isn't me kind of like creating this. There'll be other folk who I hope would remember that conversation that we're at that working together meeting. But it just shows you, like, if it's bad enough that clubs are actually going out and saying, we think this guy's got a problem with us, then they give him a cup final with us against the rivals, please.
Oh, sorry, I didn't appreciate that Hibs had approached or gone to Hampden in advance of that cup final.
It was, in fact, before that one, we specifically asked not to be Craig Thompson to get it for that reason, and they bumped us while we were waiting to go in and speak to them.
Just to put you on the spot, like you put me on the spot a couple of seconds ago, Matty. Good. If you were Scott Lindsay in that situation where they announce the referee while you're sitting out in the hallowed Hampden Halls, do you stay for the meeting or do you get up and walk out?
I'm out onto the centre circle, trousers down in the dirty protest at the centre spot.
Ironically, one of the places I haven't shat myself. But there's still time, gentlemen. There's still time.
The nights get young. No, I don't think I would be bothered with the meeting if that's what you're specifically through for, and they've kept you waiting and then announced it while you're waiting outside. I think that's about the shittiest thing you could do at that level.
In public.
Aye, well, I
really put the pressure on them.
Hibs have a sort of reputation for not going public with these things, just kind of dealing with it, don't they? But I suppose by that point it probably puts added pressure on the referee if you go public with it.
Quite right.
I suppose. But I think since the stats have been made public and everything, I think he's retired now, but I think they eased off a bit after that. I think after they'd done the damage.
Was it not one of the first games after it where he was heavily in our favour? I don't know if it was against Hearts.
I think he had the next derby after it. In fact, no, I think the next game he had after it was we're away to Dundee United, and I think he shafted us in that game as well.
Maybe my
memory's hazing up. I know the next derby that he had with us, he was probably more favouring us than them.
Yeah.
Aye. Anyway, we kind of went off on a tangent a wee bit. Back to Ross County, so the starting 11, do you think, Ryan, that that was our strongest starting 11?
Who were we missing? Jamie Murphy, who were we missing?
Yeah, Murphy, Scott Allen.
Murphy, I must admit, the first couple of times I saw him, I wasn't overly enamoured with him. And then I think the game against, was it Hamilton, I want to say, where he was basically gliding across the turf. He wasn't blessed with blistering pace, but he just seemed to just glide past opponents, and he looked, he actually looked a different class, if I'm being honest. He had an intelligence about him.
Yeah.
So I would think him, certainly. I'd probably have him in the starting 11. Scott Allen, I don't need to say any more about my love for Scott Allen, but it was a strong team. It was a strong team. I think, funny enough, I was talking to a mate yesterday about Hibs, and I'd said you can see what Jack Ross is doing. We're working with a smaller squad, but the quality has increased. Undeniably for me, it has increased. But there's a flexibility within that squad where we've already seen with Jack Ross, never mind from game to game, from within a game, he will switch from a 3 to a 4, back to a 3 to a 5, and there seems to have been a fair bit of planning and cultivating the squad. We're getting rid of some players, promoting players and bringing players in. There seems to be a bit of, as much as we've reduced the numbers, the flexibility of them has increased dramatically. But I would think, in answer to your question, Jamie Murphy, I'd probably have in there. The Scott Allen of old, I would have in there. And I've got to be honest, and I know this is going to be controversial, and John might get upset. I'd probably have Josh Doy in front of Stevenson. Because
Diggy tripod.
Sorry, Diggy tripod. Stevenson, when you're up against it in a back four, 100% I would have him. Because I've said it before, I've very rarely seen a winger getting the better of Lewis Stevenson. And defensively, he flies into challenges, he's solid as a rock. Lewis Stevenson on Saturday there, I'm sorry, you know, I'm all for recycling possession. You know, Xavi, for example, was brilliant at recycling possession. Five-yard passes here and there. Lewis Stevenson, every time he threatened to bust forward, his first thought was, I'm just going to tuck this inside. And the amount of times it seemed to slow down our tempo that we were building up. And it's something that's been apparent with him for quite a while now. And I've maybe been harsh on the boy, because he is a Hibs legend. I would never doubt that. But I just think, on a game like Saturday, we're kind of flying at them, creating chance after chance. He was slowing it down by just reverting back to his default signature move, which is the pass inside, back to me.
So which of the two would you play in the semi-final, Brian?
Based on what I saw for them on Friday, even though Dundee were absolutely hopeless, I'd possibly play Stevenson.
Aye.
Based on how many, their tactic was to shell it out wide. But whether that was designed or not, or purely whether they just clocked onto the way Dundee were playing, because they left Hearts two wingers, or acres of space. So it seemed like the wingers had all the time in the world. I'd be more inclined to put Stevenson there to nullify that. But then, you know what, in the same breath, why would I be scared of Hearts?
Yeah.
You know your best 11 and we should beat them. But on a flat back four, when you're up against a tricky winger or you're going to be conceding possession, I take Stevenson every time. Any other scenario, I'm sorry, I take Josh Doig.
What about you, John? Semi-final, you're picking the first 11. You going with Doogie Tripod or you going with Lee?
Can I answer that question with a question and ask, where is Doogie Tripod now?
Well, he was on the back of international duty. He had to self-isolate, didn't he? So I think that was just the end of his self-isolation period covered that game.
What's the crack with footballers and self-isolation? Was it because he went to a country where we didn't have the so-called air bridge, or is it just...
No, Billy Stark tested positive. So they had a game, Billy Stark tested positive, the game got abandoned at half-time, and I think the players all had to self-isolate the back. I think that's the script of that one. When we're playing England, they didn't even get to finish the game. And the result came through at half-time, and they just weaked everybody off the pitch, and that was it. So at that point, he has to quarantine for, well, be 14 days, isn't it? If you've not tested positive, he would have been 14 days.
You can probably tell I'm completely ignorant of any level of Scotland setup. I had no idea that there'd been a positive test in any game that Tripod was involved in.
Well, all you need to do now then, John, is get yourself on the Sports Sound, and you'll effectively be the same as Willie Miller.
So to go back to your original question, I would probably go with what, maybe expand on what Brian was saying. I don't think that we've got any reason to fear Hearts whatsoever. We've got 11 games under our belts. By the time the game comes round, I think we'll have 12 or 13. They'll have 3, maybe.
Yeah.
If Brian is saying that Doogie Tripod is the more attacking option, let's go at them. Let's get Tripod in there. Let's have them, have him have a go, contain their wingers, attack, whip balls in, do what he does best. And if needs be, we've got an able deputy to come in and shore things up when he's inevitably blown out his arse after the 80 odd minutes of effort that he's put in.
Aye, I've gone with Stevenson. We'll let us down, kids, what it's all about. So that would be my pick.
But this is the conundrum that Jack Ross will have every week. Like Brian has said there, that we've got masses of quality throughout the squad. We've got a squad of 24 players, and we have undoubtedly added quality in there. And Jack Ross has that weekly conundrum now, sometimes twice weekly, of how do I shape this into the strongest, most balanced squad of players that I can.
It's a good conundrum to have, because you look at the players that he's having to leave out now. So even when you were talking about your strongest side, Brian, you're probably bringing Jamie Murphy in. You're all of a sudden you're looking at taking, so for Murphy to go in, you're looking at probably either McGuinness or Newell coming out. And neither of those at the moment you would say deserve to be dropping out.
No.
McGuinness had quite a quiet game on Saturday, but considering he's just coming up to fitness, he almost scored. And I think he's going to be a real key player for us. You'd want him in. We've just paid money for him. He obviously sees him as a first-team player. So it's hard. It's hard to get everybody who you would want playing on the pitch at the same time.
I like, because with a three at the back, I must admit. And I think there you've got the flexibility with your wide men in the five. Whether that would be, I've seen Joe Newell play well at left wing back, whether it be Newell and Boyle, whether you do put Doig in there, I think against Hearts, any derby, it's generally won and lost in midfield. Especially now, given on Friday, it looked as if they finally discovered that the ball rolls on the grass. So, to me, I think Gojic, Newell and McGuinness would be my three in the middle, certainly.
I would take that as a midfield three, like.
And then definitely. What do you do out wide? Do you put Murphy and Boyle out wide?
Yeah.
Do you play a three and then say to Gojic, I know you're defensive, but you need to be really defensive this time. You need to almost be like a table footballer and just go side to side. And then you've got the Newell and Boyle taking the game to them.
How come, seeing table football, how come none of them ever give away free kicks for high feet?
I think in table football, the rules are that you shouldn't be spinning them, so there never should be a high feet.
Ah, fair dues. Fair dues. Right, next question. This came up in conversation, right? And I think it's a good topic to discuss. I'm going to say a sentence to you and tell me what you think about it. we should be beating Ross County. John.
Fuck, how do you answer this? I don't think we've got any God-given right to beat anyone. Regardless of squad size, resources, anything like that. Like I was saying there before about Jack Ross, it's up to him come Saturday, come Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever it is that we play, to put the squad together to go out and beat the team that's in front of us. Anyone that thinks that Hibs should be going out and beating Ross County after some of the results that we've had over the years is probably supporting the wrong football club, to be perfectly honest.
Do you think?
I mean, didn't it... Like, football's a game of 90 minutes, played by 22 folk. Like, anything can happen in that. And we've definitely won games that we probably shouldn't have won. We've lost games that we should have won. On paper, we probably should beat Ross County, but football isn't played on paper. It's played on the grass. We're ball.
Brian, what's your thoughts on the topic?
We should be beating them.
Right, and what's your thinking?
The goalie averages, we discussed it a couple of weeks ago. To me, a Hibs team, home or away against Ross County, over the course of 10 games, I'm expecting Hibs to win 7-8 of them and maybe drawing 1 or 2.
So Saturday's result would represent the 1 or 2 then?
Aye, I know, ironically enough, we had enough chances to win 5 games against Ross County.
Yeah.
But that's the way the cookie crumbles.
I think that's the kind of the key. But I think if you can accept, because people talk about this kind of result, that result's unacceptable. And I think that's the wrong attitude. I think you say, well, you have to accept, well, what you're going to do. Like, you can send your season ticket book back or, you know, whatever. You have to accept that games like that can happen.
Oh, I mean, straight after the game, I'd put on Twitter that this is why Aberdeen will finish third. And after about half an hour, I'd kind of sort of calmed down a bit. It was a bit knee-jerk. I was annoyed that we'd had that many chances and spun them.
Yeah.
But I kind of calmed down and I thought it was just one of those days, unfortunately. If we'd went there and had no shots on target, then I'd probably be far more aggrieved. But it was just, their keeper played well, we lost composure. I'd put that down to one of those days rather than we're shite and we're going to finish 7th.
Just here's a quick question, Brian, because I saw some of the tweets. I saw your tweet and I saw a couple of other tweets referencing Aberdeen, saying that, you know, Aberdeen go and win that game and that's why they'll finish third.
And they drew with Dundee United,
who we beat. So it sounded like Dundee United were kind of backs to the wall and Aberdeen were going at them and Aberdeen couldn't break it down. Aberdeen couldn't break Dundee United down. So, we beat Dundee United and we didn't beat Ross County. Is there any positives there for Hibs? Or is it always that knee-jerk reaction that you mentioned, Brian?
I don't think there's any. The only positive for Hibs is that they drew as well as us. But in terms of the knee-jerk reaction, I never based that on the 90 minutes on Saturday. I based that over the last, God knows how many years, 5, 6, 7 years, where they just...
Is that not the opposite of a knee-jerk reaction? Is that like a kind of really long, considered reaction?
Aye, my knee-jerk was over the 90 minutes, but when I calmed down and thought about it, I put it down to one of those days, but I think we Aberdeen, they've done it over the last 6, 7 years. They do just tend to eke out those wins, and that's probably amplified by the victories they've had over us, where we've really took it to them and had every right to take points at the game, and they just seem to have stuck us with that killer blow. So that, like I say, that probably amplifies it, because I've seen it firsthand what they've done to us, and it's just a fucking, we've been Aberdeened.
I think that's fair as well, to be honest with you. I was to go back to the original question about should Hibs be beating Ross County, I would say definitely, right? With a caveat to say it won't always happen. So there's loads of things that should happen that don't. And you, like you said, John, football is a funny game, that you didn't just get your own way. There's another team there who whose job is to try and beat you. And I get that. It's the same argument why I don't get too upset when Celtic and Rangers beat us, because they're spending dwarfs hours,
yeah,
the resources, their squad size and all the rest of it. But I kind of have that argument and stand by it and then say, but it's different with us in Ross County, because there isn't a player in that Ross County team who would get into the Hibs team, in my opinion. You know, if you go goalkeeper to striker, all the way through them, I'm not swapping any of our team for their team. I'm not taking their manager ahead of our manager. I'm not taking their fan base ahead of our fan base, their budget ahead of our budget, their squad size ahead of our squad size. There is nothing from Ross County that I would say is better or gives them an advantage over us. And therefore, we should be looking to win that. And we did look to win it. And, you know, you look at how many shots, 28 shots on goal. Mm-hmm. Normally, you're winning that game. Right? So normally, we would have got what we would have expected to get from it. But I think it's fair for people to say we should be winning that game.
Yep.
On that basis. So you didn't look convinced.
There's a couple of things that, so I was having a wee look when you were talking about it, at the number of times Hibs and Ross County have played each other, number of wins, losses, draws, and it's actually pretty even in terms of wins and losses. Hibs have won 8, Ross County have won 7, and there's been 5 draws. You'll need to take it kind of as gospel at the moment. Like, I've not actually looked at any of the fixtures to sort of tally them up myself. But Brian mentioned Aberdeen over the last sort of 10 years or so. And we talked about it a wee while back about Aberdeen and how they've had one manager in charge for the last, I think it's 7 or 8 years. In fact, it might have even been someone else I was talking to, but Aberdeen have had one manager for the last 7, 8 years in Derek McInnes, and we've had how many? I don't think that we always, like, we might look to Aberdeen and say, right, that's where we want to be, but that's where we want, you know, we want to finish in third place. They've had that consistent, solid base for a number of years, and they've just improved upon it. They've made small changes, and, they've had a bit of investment there. But then we come back, like, we have a couple of mixed games, like the two cup games, for example. We had a mishmash squad of just basically who's fit, and by the way, let's give the goalkeeping coach a shout because we've got nobody else.
Yeah.
We still managed to come through those games and we've done all right. But nobody's talking that up. Nobody's talking about that positively. We had a draw against Ross County, and you're probably right. In terms of the resource argument that you were talking about before, we probably should be beating Ross County. But our record against them doesn't reflect that. But we've also had a topsy-turvy number of years over the course of those fixtures. Like, Hibs haven't been particularly well run for a good while now. Now that we are in a really good shape, why don't we just kind of forget about the past and focus on the future? Stop looking at what Aberdeen has been doing for the last 7 years and start thinking about what we're doing for the next 5, 10.
But Aberdeen doing it now.
They've got a game in hand and they're 1 point ahead of us.
They're a quarter of the way into the
season.
But they're still doing it now. We've had a good start to the season, and quite right, we were congratulating Hibs for that. But they're still doing better than us. And if I remember, did they not have a bad start to the season? Did they maybe lose the first couple of games or something?
They
lost to Rangers and then they got COVID, didn't they? Like, they all,
aye.
They all went.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they were behind. Yeah.
But my point on that, Brian, is if we're just looking at Aberdeen have been doing that for the last 7 years, and we've got a good guy in charge now. We've got a lot of good things that are happening at Easter Road in terms of recruitment and challenging circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And we're expecting miracles from the first round of fixtures. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to suddenly become third place or start challenging for anything like that within the first round of fixtures.
No, I totally agree with that, but I still think we can still be annoyed if we don't get the right results. Like I say, Saturday, instantly, knee-jerk. I'd put that on Twitter, and after about half an hour, I'd calm down a wee bit. But
hi.
I'm not. By the way, like, I'm not saying that I'm no disappointed or that I'm pleased that we drew or anything like that. Sometimes we're just going to draw and we're going to have to say, Ken, what, shite, it didn't quite happen for us.
Oh, you look at the St Johnstone game at McDermott Park. where we were nowhere near as potent, if you like, as what we were on Saturday, yet we managed to get the 3 points. It's swings and roundabouts, but I think it's just making sure that your margins and your percentages are that little bit higher. And if we want to finish third or fourth, the points that we picked up the first quarter, we need to get that in the next the next three quarters.
I think that if you look at the stats and the performance, that bore out the advantage that we have over them. So when we talk about the things that we've got better than Ross County, any other week we win that game, in my opinion.
It
takes a shot to get deflected marginally under, you know, and McGuinness's shot to clip the underside of the bar and bounce in rather than bouncing out. That those kind of fine margins, and we come away with a win, and everything's as it should be. You're absolutely right, Brian. You talk about the St Johnson game. We were terrible in that game, and we won it. We were much better against Ross County than we were against St Johnson, and we didn't win it. And that's football. I suppose that's about what I was talking about. You kind of say it's unacceptable. That's where you have to just accept it and say, right, that's what happens. It's human beings. They're going to miss chances. Martin Boyle, when he's clean through, he's not meant to pull the shot wide. It's just happened, you know. McGuinness isn't meant to clip the bar when he's going for the top corner. It just these things are going to happen, and you have to accept it. If you can take the positives from it and say, right, by rights, we should have won that game. We didn't. Take the positives from it and then move on to the next game.
There was someone,
that
I forget.
Second one. Sorry, I'm just saying that the second chance that Boyle had, he could have taken that in another 5 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had flashbacks of his goal against Kilmarnock in the first game of the season, but he really could have taken that in another 5 yards. Why he took it so early? He never even allowed the keeper to commit himself.
No, I think if he'd take it in, he probably could have just digged over the keeper as well. You know, it's one of those ones the keeper will come out and try to get down to the ball. So rather than trying to find a really kind of tight spot, I think if you watch the replay, he gives the keeper's eyes, so he looks in another corner. So I think he's trying to give the keeper the eyes and then just pull it across to the other corner as he's shooting. But it didn't quite work. Yeah. Anyway, right, episode 70. 7-0, favourite derby. John, what's your favourite derby?
The You're Not Unbeatable derby.
Right. Tell me why.
So it's not my favourite derby because he wasn't there, but one of my mates wasn't there and he'd given his season ticket to a friend who'd given it to another friend. So I just ended up standing next to this wee sort of skinny Penfold looking guy who looked totally out of place in the East Stand at Easter Road. And I don't know if any of us were in the terrace on that day, but when the first goal goes in, especially, so it wasn't just about the goal, it was about the whole atmosphere that was in Leith and Edinburgh and Gorgie at the time. So Hearts have got untold funny millions that are being spent by Romanov. I think we had that, there was the derby at the start of the season. I think did we draw it 0-0, but we should have won? Did we miss a penalty or something? And then, you know, it was just George Burley, I think, got sacked the night before the game.
He did, aye.
It was the 13th game of the season and they were coming to Easter Road and there was just an atmosphere at Easter Road that day amongst everyone that just kind of said to me, like, you're not leaving here with anything. You're not leaving here with a point. You're leaving here with nothing. And when the first goal went in, it was just utter pandemonium in the terracing. Literally, like, it was probably one of the few times that I remember, like, a proper surge of people running across those wee bucket seats. And the wee Penfold-looking guy next to me, the wee skinny Penfold, he got caught under a sea of bodies. And looking back at it, you go, fuck me, that was pretty dangerous. The only thing I could do at the time was just kind of lift him out by his collar and put him somewhere so I could continue running down the terrace with everyone else. It was carnage. There was bodies falling over bodies. There was a wee sort of mini fight broke out. The police came wading in and started lifting folk and taking them outside. And that was just the first goal.
Brilliant.
Second goal was even better.
Brian, what about you?
It's a toss-up between two of them. There's the 2-2 at Tyne in the Scottish Cup. But I think with that was because I was there. It was hospitality one of my suppliers, and they were, to a man, they were all jambos, and I was in their main stand at the time. I think there was 13 of us. There was myself, there was another guy who was a hippie, so I'd sat beside him, 11 of them, jambos. Obviously, half-time, they were 2-0 up. Went back inside the bowels of the stadium, and I think bowels is probably the correct term for the inside of that stand at the time. And, you know, it was getting the goad in and everything else. And then when Hibs, when Cummins scored the header, the boy was sat beside, he just sort of, because it's such a, the old stand was such a crammed wee stand, we were kind of knee to knee anyway, but it just kept on kneeing me. I was like, shut the fuck up. And then obviously when Hanlon scored, you could just the sheer derision for everybody else around us. And me and this boy, how the 2 years never ended up with dislocated kneecaps? I don't know, we were just frantically battering each other's knee. So there's possibly that one, and obviously I went out and got pissed on their credit card, which was brilliant, winding them up for hours on end. But I think, in all honesty, nothing beats the 6-2 game. That was just, I told the story before, I decided about 15 minutes before kickoff to go by myself, and that was just carnage. It was almost like you were living a dream. And then when Russell Waterby scored the 6th, that was just, wow, just unbelievable. I'm going to 6-2. I'm going for a 6-2.
6-2 is hard to beat. I think I would go for probably not a one that many people would pick, but the 3-1.
No, no draw back in 84.
Ryan Hamilton missed the penalty. Henry Smith saved it, and I remember he'd seen it in the programme notes how where he was going to put it. No, I do remember that game vividly though. The 3-1 at Easter Road in the cup. So after we'd won the cup, I'm sure that was a cup game where Shinney scored and Holt and Cummins got the first one.
I think Cummins got the first and then Holt.
Aye. Just everything about that night was brilliant. And we absolutely battered them, really.
The sunshine on Lee that night was superb.
Aye, outstanding. It was proper goosebumps. Then it, and that kind of capped the period, I think, where we properly owned Hearts at that point. I mean, Hearts couldn't really get a handle on us, no matter what they did. And you know how jammy Hearts are against us. Like, we've seen it over the years where they can be shite for 90 minutes and somebody will hit a shot from fucking nowhere and it'll fly in, or it'll get deflected up over the keeper or whatever it is. You've seen it so many times, and we fucking never get that luck against them. And that night, obviously, we didn't need luck, but we could have taken, if it had been 5-6, 7-1, it wouldn't have been an injustice. We absolutely battered them. But
did we not get a goal disallowed there as well? McGregor
had one chopped off. And I think that was at 3-0. When that one, and they got the penalty. They even missed the penalty. I think Marciano saves the penalty, and they get a typical Hearts goal for the rebound. But I think there was like a, now, I'll try and make sure I don't mix it up again. So I'm sure there was a moment in that game where the ball comes to McGeoch and he's got two Hearts players closing him, and he kind of just thinks the ball with a bit of backspin and just lifts it over the two of them and turns on it. It's just like it was that sort of arrogance and style that we played with. We were just outstanding against them, and Hearts had no answer to it at all. I mean, they were miles off us, like miles and miles off us. We were just a totally better team than them. So I like that one. I'm going to read a few for Twitter because we asked last week and we got a few sent in. So, Hybes Allen, he said, I don't know why, but always fondly remember the De La Cruz derby. Probably because we won it. Do you think De La Cruz meant the goal that went into the top corner? Was that on purpose or was that a cross going wrong?
I'd hope he meant it, because if that was a cross, I'm putting my boots back on.
Who would they try to hit? Fuck.
I think he meant it. You can see the way he strikes it. He just kind of caught it funny way. Sort of like, there's no follow through in the ball. He just sort of stabs at it and just pings it into the top corner.
It wasn't even like an outside of the foot type effort either. It was like he just, I don't know, he just.
It was almost like he sort of stumbled through the shot or something.
Yeah. A good goal though.
It's like he was trying to outrun a fall and there was just a ball in front of him.
Aye, that's exactly what it was like. That was only after about 20 seconds or something, wasn't it? Like it was
aye.
Really early. That's a great way to start a derby, that.
Has there ever been a reasonable explanation provided as to why he was standing on the goal line for his second, considering he was a right back?
Just wanted to score. He got excited.
I think he just done what he wanted.
Ryan Taylor said, any tiny derby is always a highlight. The piss up beforehand, the tunnel noise, the spine tingling, and personally the Griffiths free kick with the 90th minute winner from Ross Caldwell will always stick in my mind. I think the year was 2013. Tiny was carnage in that stand. That was a great derby as well, because Griffiths' goal was incredible. That was, it must have been 2013, I think, because he'd had the one disallowed before. And it was a similar kind of range, wasn't it? That it just absolutely flew into the top corner.
Oh, unbelievable.
And then Ross Caldwell's goal, considering, no offence to the guy, but how shite Ross Caldwell was, to take the goal the way that he took it, when you're a young laddie, you're in there, was it injury time? At Tiny, the ball breaks to you, and it's the calmest finish you will ever see in a derby. It's kind of,
it was brilliant. Tiny stood still.
Aye. And he just lifted it, just placed it at the top corner, and you see the keepers looked at it and go, ah, I'm not getting anywhere near that.
If I remember, was it not Scott Robertson?
Robertson, huh?
That won the
he
ball
got wiped
for
out.
Us.
He could have had a penalty in that.
I couldn't have been him. Who was it that won the ball at the, they had a throw in?
It was Robertson.
It must have been them. Yeah.
It was their throw in, and they mucked up, it bounced off him, I'm sure, or it broke to Robertson, and he laid it to Caldwell and then got wiped out, and then Caldwell just pings in the top corner.
That's right. Yeah.
Aye. Good times. Right. Winston Ingram. He's another one for the unbeatable derby. There's a good video Rafe Forsyth shared on our timeline if anybody wants to look for it. It's from Elliot Street. It's Hibs fans singing Sunshine Underneath after one of them. Marcus Calderon, best memory from a derby was the moment the natural order banner was unfurled. Now, that's a good shout, by the way. There was another game where we battered them and we didn't get the result that, or the scoreline that the performance deserved. So that was Scott Allen and Jamie McLaren scored in that game when that banner came out. Incredible. And there's an amazing photo of it from sort of the dugouts and Levine Jake standing back in with a blue anorak looking like Angelos Epithemou. Angelos Epithemou, you know, for Shooting Stars?
No.
What? Oh, you got to go Google, right? Oh, he's missing as a test score, an Aldi carrier.
Oh,
bag,
no,
right?
Sorry, I do know who you mean. I do know who you mean.
Aye. So Levine's just standing looking like him with a big banner, and you can just imagine how seething he would have been right at that minute. Nothing he could do about that other than suck it up. Lovely. Whoever had the idea to make that banner, they should be up for your Queen's Awards or whatever. They deserve it more than anybody else. They deserve it. Even better than folk to do good things for charity, etc. they're good, but they're not that good. right, John Johnson, obviously the 7-0 New Year massacre for him. Captain Mumu, the one when O'Connor scored at the end after Brebner got sent off. Do you remember in that game? So I think that was the first derby. That was 2003. I think it was the first derby after Josh was born, so we watched it at my house, I think, if my memory serves me right. But there was a guy who went on and tried to get the referee at half-time, and he was the carer for a disabled person.
Aye, I do remember that story.
Imagine how rad you'd have to be to go after the referee, how angry you would be. I can't remember, probably all been there, but we've never actually done it.
I was in an internet cafe in Benidorm, and there was about five or six of us, Hibbies and Jambos, huddled round this monitor, and it was a BBC text updates. So for 90 minutes, we genuinely were just hitting the F5 button, refreshing it. We're pissed. And then obviously it flashed up 90 minutes plus whatever. Goal, Hibs, Gary O'Connor. And I remember one of my mates, the Jambo, he was so incensed, he just basically started picking up those sort of white plastic chairs that you get everywhere abroad and was just launching them everywhere, and just some angry mustachioed Spanish guy coming flying out of his chamber and just screaming at him, "This is not your house!" He was obviously German. That was going mental. And I just remember us getting hosed out of there, and the highbies amongst us, we just went in one direction, not even sure if that was towards a hotel, shouting and screaming our heads off, and the other two jambos went the other way, tail between the legs. Brilliant.
I'm sure I woke Josh up. He would have been having a nap. I'm sure when the goal went in, shouting, obviously as you do, I think I woke him up, made him cry. there you go. Some things never change. Andrew McBee. Andrew McBee said the Hamlin's equaliser was great, celebrating with my mate at Long John Banger, whoever that is. They said, to be honest, Cup replay in 2017, East Road murdered them that night. 3-1 going on all sorts. Agreed with that. Leon, Dean Shields' winner at Tynecastle was always a good one. But Conte turned the game after it was heading home pissed and had been having trouble with someone in my street that week. So in my exuberant state, I decided to take a piss on their car door handle. Yes, that's a good night. Murzo said Dean Shields won at the time. It was carnage, as was Paul Hanlon's equaliser 2016. Pride of Edinburgh, only one I've been to was one last season, 3-1. I remember watching Witherspoon's winner. That was a good one as well. Witherspoon's one was right after the first cup game,
yep.
After they beat us in the final. So effectively, they were only the holders for that one game, really. We knocked them out at the first time of asking the next game. DC 1984 got to be. 6-2 match and was working at Easter Road selling pies, but was desperate to watch the match, so I quit my job and went home to watch it. Must have known something special was going to happen. So if anybody was unhappy that night and nobody ever got a pie, I'm not saying it was DC 1984's fault, but I'm also not saying it wasn't. Dub, when Bobby Streeth at the gate thought it was number 8, Jam Tarts bye bye. Mike, of the teaser at the start of the show, beating them 6-2 in that volley from Latape. Christopher Black said the 6-2 was good. I remember leaving my game after winning a penalty shootout. I had to play in goal. I was so late that I missed the bus, so I had to run to catch it. I was still in my kit, covered in mud. It was a superb Sunday. See, if you were in a football kit and you found yourself rocked up at the football, would you chance it to get on the pitch thinking nobody's going to challenge you?
No, by the way, I'm currently touting.
I think I would fit in effortlessly.
Aye, could be worth a shot at it anyway. And Ian Borge said, walking back to Leith after the 0-7 game, not a single jambo in sight the entire way. What a blissful universe that would be. I was like one of the, I don't know, I was going to tell jokes, it's shy jokes, I'm not going
to
bother.
My dad said, well, to be fair, I think everybody's dad was at the 7-0 game.
Aye, but
he never tires of telling the story that he was late and getting into the ground because he couldn't get in for all the jambos streaming out.
Good.
I'm not entirely sure he was at the game.
Well, I've seen my dad and my late Uncle Danny were they're on TV. But, you know, when you watch the footage, so you can actually pinpoint himself and say, although I wouldn't have ken, you know, that day the camera wasn't like high definition. He could have been pointing at anybody, really. They just go, aye, fair enough. But I'm pretty sure it was him. Right, just to wrap up then, Kelly on Saturday, but before we do that, New Hibs website, John, you had asked me to mention this, and for once I've remembered something somebody's asked me to do. Why are we mentioning Hibs website?
It's just, I think Hibs have done a really good job in refreshing it, and there was something that came around via email today that talked about like recognition of the amount of money that Hibs fans have put into the club during this difficult time and what they've been doing on the back of it to try and, you know, show their appreciation. The website's just really, really good. I think I'm right in saying, of single sign-on. So rather than having something for your tickets and the website, whatever, your Hibs TV, just put it into one single sign-on, one-stop shop, which is great for everyone, especially when we're all getting older and can't remember our passwords for a call.
The player profiles are a highlight. They're superbly done. I really like the wee touch of having. So, like, I went and checked Lewis Stevenson's one, and there's like wee Twitter posts for things that are relevant to him, as well as his wee bio when the picture changes as you go over them. A really, really good website. The one thing that I really want to see on it, and I think there's room for it, and there's a We Are All Hibs section, and I would love to see Hibs link to things like Longbangers, Hibs Talk, Down the Slope, Hibs.net, Hybe's Bounce, fan-created content. We're Hibs' biggest advocates, aren't we? Like, we'll go and produce stuff for other Hibs fans to listen to or to read or to contribute to. We generate interest in the club as a result of that. I think Hibs miss a trick by not linking to people like us or the websites. I think that would fall nicely under the We Are All Hibs bit, even if some of our content is a little bit questionable.
They could
put a disclaimer on it to say we're not responsible for it, but
put a link to an unaffiliated website that we appear on the Outcasts.
We've washed our hands of this bunch. But I think, genuinely speaking, I think Hibs miss a trick there. I think if you really want to embrace and live the value of We Are All Hibs, that should happen. I think they miss a trick by not doing it.
I'll phone Ron tomorrow morning.
Aye, go on the blower to him. Other than that, and that's a very, very minor point, the website's terrific. Night and day to what it was. And if you try to look at it on your phone, it's seamless. Like, really slick website. Content's good. I like what they've done. Big thumbs up for it. Right, Kelly, on Saturday then, John, what's your predictions?
I'm supposed to be playing golf again, so...
What a wank.
Right, we asked for your prediction, not your diary.
No, that's the problem. Like, the last couple of games I've been playing golf and not seen the Hibs game. Hibs haven't done quite as well as we would have liked, so... Is it East? No, it's at Rugby Park. So I was going to ask this. Have Kilmarnock got a pay-per-view option? Because there was a concern about that at the start of the season, that they might gear us the fingers and say,
I think they have got a pay-per-view option. I've not looked into it, but you're right. They would probably be within the rights to tell us to bowl for that. But Kilmarnock didn't have any money, so I can't see them turning down.
Aye. I will make every effort to watch it, and if Hibs put in the same performance that you guys have described from Saturday, at least the first 15 minutes, and keep it over the 90, Hibs will win comfortably 2-0.
2-0. What about you, Brian?
Rather horribly, the first result that came into my mind was 1-0 Kilmarnock. But I think that's a game that generally draws quite a few goals. Kelly Hibs at Rugby Park.
Yeah.
So, as much as my head instantly said 1-0 there, I'm going to say 2-2. Desmond.
Oh, Desmond, 2-2. I think Hibs will win. I think we'll get back to winning ways and set us up nicely for the end of the month.
Is that our last game before the semi final?
Oh, good question.
Or is there another one?
I think it is, yeah.
Who are we still to play? Yeah, I think it is. I don't think we've got a midweek one after this. I think we'll play that one, and then the next weekend will be the cup game. So hopefully we get a result. Hopefully we come through unscathed. I suppose that's my worry for that game, is that players might have an eye on the next game week. But I hope they don't. I hope they go in and just give up their all, get the points, and then take the confidence.
Surely they're playing for their place in the semi-final.
Well, you'd like to think so, eh? But we've seen it before, just before a big game, we've been shit, so you never know.
At the future, different things, but positive things, positive thoughts. We're winning the game, we're winning the semi-final. The future's bright, the future's green and white.
Aye, 3-2 Hibs then. Right, that's about us for the night. Back on Thursday for Short Bangers, guys.
Aye, I'm available.
Excellent.
Yes, I am not drinking, the pubs are shut. I'm free. Let's do it.
Right. So get your questions in. Just tweet us or post them on the thread on Hibs.net. Or if you're really feeling fancy, you can email us at longbangers@gmail.com. Get the questions in. That makes the show. And we'll be back on Thursday for Short Bangers. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Well, they trailed me down when I broke free. I drank all the whiskey in Tennessee. I don't